Good afternoon. The title of my presentation is Leaf Growth and Nutrients Element Uptake by Adventitious Roots of Colas in Hydroponic Solution of Variable Composition. Our work is done at Lincoln University in Missouri. The focus of our hydroponic research project there is simplified sustainable methods for small scale and limited resource growers. Colas, for some of you who are not very familiar with it, just like kale, and is grown for its abundant leaf, which is consumed as cooked vegetable. In the U.S., both commercial and homegrown production of colas occur in the southern states. However, tender, high-quality colas leaves can be readily produced in hydroponic culture systems year-round and nationwide. Now, long-term cropping of colas up to 9 to 12 months is possible for continuous leaf harvesting in NFT hydroponic culture, with proper sanitation, of course. Growth rejuvenation is necessary for long-term maintenance of colas in NFT culture. And growth rejuvenation involves the induction of adventitious roots by careful timing of roots or basal shoot pruning. This is the original seedling plant with its primary root system, and this is a rooted cutting with adventitious roots. So growth rejuvenation then reduces the frequency of starting new crops from seed, and therefore the lag time for seedling establishment and economic yield. It takes longer, you know, for these seedlings to attain marketable size leaf when you grow them from seedling. The lag time from seedling establishment to economic yield can be reduced by up to 50%, from about 75 to 35 days after transferring to NFT culture through growth rejuvenation of established seedlings. Now, leaf yield was observed to be consistently higher with rejuvenated plants compared to seedling plants for a few of the experiments we did. Then I started taking notice of it later. So the objective of this presentation is to assess the effect of growth rejuvenation in NFT culture on leaf growth and leaf nutrient element contents of colas. Colas plants are usually started initially from established seedlings. Seeds were usually, established either in Oasis cube or Oasis foam or rockwood cubes. 2 to 3 week old seedlings then are subsequently transferred into NFT hydroponic culture for growing on. The hydroponic culture system that we use looks like this. So seedling establishment then occurs in NFT channels, and we usually have bays within the greenhouse, bays of 6 rows. Ambient temperature and relative humidity, as well as other environmental factors, are usually monitored in the course of the experiment. For leaf harvesting of colas, mature marketable leaves of this size are usually harvested at once, or they may be selectively, mature leaves may be selectively harvested over time, as in B. In that case, like the 4th to 5th, you know, fully expanded leaf will be a marketable size. On the A is the newly root or basal shoot pruned seedlings that are re-established in the trough, and B shows the established plant 30 to 35 days after transfer into NFT. And as I mentioned before, we observe that marketable yield, which is leaf count and leaf fresh weight, as well as biological yield, leaf dry weight and leaf dry weight ratio, were consistently higher with rejuvenated compared to seedling plants. And what about nutrient uptake? We find that the more mobile nutrients, NP and K, are usually lower in rejuvenated compared to seedling plants, whereas magnesium concentration is higher here, as well as sulfur. Now, either we attribute this to dilution effects or faster mobilization of these more mobile elements into the new shoots. Because of continuous harvesting, we're stimulating vegetative growth at a shoot which has higher zinc for nutrient demand. Now, the iron, manganese, and boron follows the same pattern, whereas copper and aluminum were accumulated. Now, with iron, the level of iron content in the tissue was below the sufficiency range as determined by analysis for this crop. In earlier pilot studies, who were looking at commercial fertilizers that small-scale growers actually use off-label for hydroponic production. And we looked at the three different commercial fertilizers. And one thing that was unique about each of them is that they have relatively different nitrate-nitrogen to ammonium-nitrogen ratio, starting from CalMag on the left to the right. The nitrate to ammonium nitrogen ratio declines in order. And we observed that leaf count, leaf fresh weight, and leaf dry weight also decline with increase in ammonium to nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen ratio, i.e., the higher the ammonium nitrogen content. Ammoniacal nitrogen content, the lower the yield. So it prompts us to start thinking about, what effect would this ammonium to nitrate ratio have on root development in the first place? So we conducted an initial experiment with Hoagland nutrient solution, one with 100% nitrate nitrogen and the other with ammonium nitrogen content. And as you can see here, root development was much more advanced with nitrate nitrogen compared to ammonium nitrogen. So in this observation, we observed that the higher leaf yield of the rejuvenated crop cannot be attributed to differences in leaf content of essential nutrients, relative to the seedling crop. Okay, so there is no advantage of the adventitious, root over the seedling root in acquiring more nutrients. So that is not what is accounting for the faster growth rates what we're observing with the rejuvenated plants. But leaf yield reduction with the increase in ammonium to nitrogen ratio in nutrient solution may in part be due to the suppressed growth that is usually characteristic of ammonium type nitrogen sources. Now, subsequent experiments will assess the effect of ammonium to nitrogen ratio as well as calcium concentration in hydroponic solution on root development of colites. Reason being that most of these commercial fertilizers that are not strictly formulated for hydroponic production usually are low in calcium and magnesium, and they contain disproportionately, inappropriately high ratios of ammonium to nitrate nitrogen, which are all characteristics that makes them undesirable for hydroponic production. But as I said earlier, with small-scale growers and with limited resource growers, they are willing to lay their hands to grow crops with anything they can lay their hands on. And when they call and ask you what to do, if you give them a strict yes or no, do or do not, they will tell you that I saw on YouTube, you know, that somebody was able to do this. And so I have to have some kind of, you know, scientific evidence other than anecdotal evidence to actually demonstrate to them that these characteristics in fertilizers are not desirable for hydroponic production. So this is my next step in this study.
Any questions? What was the pH?
Okay, usually when I do this, I keep the pH standard. I maintain my pH between 6.5 and 7. I monitor daily and I adjust it with sulfuric acid. Yes.
What were your electrical conductivities?
Okay, electrical conductivity, I don't, fiddle with it. Usually, using this experiment, I use 200 parts per million milligram per liter of nitrogen of each of those commercial fertilizers. So whatever the EC is at that concentration is what I leave it at, and then I change my nutrient solution as the EC drops. For example, with 200 parts per million CalMag, I get an EC of about 1.4 to 1.7. And then it declines from there. By the time it gets to about 0.7, it gets below 0.1, I change the nutrient solution.
How often you change the nutrient solution?
Okay, the nutrient solution, like I said, I monitor the pH and EC every day. I base it on how low the EC is. Okay, for example, when I start a new seedling, the plants are small, the absorption rate and everything is, slower than the fully matured plants. So if I say I'm going to do it every week, well, what about when no nutrient solution is used at all? So, but on the average, you're looking at, depending on the size of your container and the rate of drawdown of your EC, you're looking at between 1 to 2 weeks.
Do the post-harvest measuring after harvest the leaf? Post-harvest, about how many days the leaf may stay?
Oh, you mean post-harvest quality of the crop? Okay, of the harvested crop. Yeah, I have not looked into post-harvest, issues yet, and that's something that we're going to, consider in the future.
We have time for a couple more questions. If anyone has any questions.
Jonathan, your iron seems to be very low and zinc seems to be very high. Do you think under this range?
Yes.
Yes, zinc is very high, iron is too low.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I don't think so. As I mentioned before, okay, the iron level was below the sufficiency range for colons. Okay, zinc was, yes, excessively kind of on the high side. Like now, we were not using this experiment. We didn't use standard hydroponic solution, so we used we used CalMag, okay. And I don't know why the zinc level kind of got elevated in that way. One of the factors that account for elevated micronutrients like that would be how often or whether you do replenishment versus replacement. Because if you discard a nutrient solution and refresh it very often, you get rid of accumulation of those elements that could be taken up excessively if they are sitting there. But sometimes when you practice replenishment, you just top it up with new nutrient solution, some of those you know, micronutrients accumulate and they can be taken up to high levels.
Thank you so much.